Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox running solo today. We're going to do a Patrick McManus episode. But before I jump into that, got quite a bit of housework to do here to bring you guys up to speed. It's been an embarrassingly long time since I've posted an episode. And I want to thank you guys, the ones that have been hassling me on social media, in person, via email, asking me on the phone, etc., about when I was going to get another episode posted, because it's kind of like one of those things you get out of the habit of, and then it's hard to get back on it again. And I got busy last summer, I guess it was. Actually, did record several episodes last summer, and I'm hoping that I can retrieve those to post up, because I did some migrating of data on my computer and things got a little haywire there with files turning up in places that they weren't supposed to and other files that I have not been able to locate. And so the last time that I went to look for the files that I had recorded, I wasn't able to find them. I'm going to do a little more extensive searching and hopefully those will pop back up again. Let's see, geez, since April, what have I been up to? My goodness. last summer was kind of crazy. I can't even remember exactly what went on last summer. I had a pretty decent season last fall, which I'll probably get into like on a recorded episode, or maybe even a solo recorded episode, so I can kind of go over, you know, how my seasons went, my hunts went. Because I don't think, well, I have recorded several podcasts with other podcast hosts, and I think I went into them a bit then, but I haven't really broken, you know, some of the learning lessons down, especially from my Nevada elk hunt. I think that there's a lot of opportunity there to share, you know, some learning experiences on my end, and hopefully save some of the listeners some experiences that I went through. But all in all, had a great season last year. And then, you know, post-season, although it was a short season, I one of my hunts that I thought I had a tag for didn't come through. So instead of doing three hunts last year, I only did two. And so that was a little disappointing. But, you know, I guess that's two more than some people got to hunt. So I'm not going to complain about it, especially since I did manage to fill tags on both hunts. Let's see, since then, I just got back from, this is what, February 13th right now, and it'll be a minute before I get this actually posted, because I've got a, my son, actually it's pretty exciting, my son from college, is doing video editing, and I talked to him about, you know, becoming essentially my sound engineer, and, editor there, so he's going to be posting these up, and I've got to record a new intro and outro, or actually my wife does, so I've got that still piled up, and I have to get him the music and get, you know, all that set up, so there'll be a little bit of a lag here between now and when this gets posted, but that will be coming together here shortly. And then let's see, I got back from, went to the Kalamazoo Traditional Archery Show back in, it was the end of January. Had a great show there. It was really fun to get to see a lot of, you know, my customers and shake hands with them and take pictures and all that good stuff. And sold some bows and introduced our new bow model, the Vortex, which is a belly limb mounted riser, and in a couple different riser lengths and both recurve and longbow limbs. Our new catalog is out, so if you'd like to get a catalog, just log on to the Stalker website there, and you can request a catalog there and we'll mail one out to you. We're a little bit behind. We caught up on several hundred catalog requests, and then I posted up a picture of a laundry basket full of catalogs and got a bunch more requests. And so we haven't caught up on those yet, but those should be going out in the mail here pretty quick. Let's see, there's something. So I'm going to start doing something a little bit different with the podcast here. And this is kind of, we'll kill two birds with one stone. One is that, you know, it's always kind of hard to get people motivated to leave reviews and rate the podcast. And so, you know, some people do giveaways and I kind of like to have things more organic. We have done that in the past. And thank you guys for everyone that has logged on and gave us a rating. We've done really well with that. But what I think I'd like to do is something a little bit more interactive with you guys. And that would be log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app there and leave a, rate it. And then in lieu of leaving a review, which you're more than welcome to do that as well, and I'd be tickled pink to read them. But leave, if you have a question that you'd like me to answer on the podcast, or if you have a topic you'd like to hear about or a guest suggestion, leave that in the comment section on the review. And then what I'll do is before I record each time is I'll hop on there and look at the reviews and then I'll answer questions on the air. So that will be a kind of a fun thing. And I'll either do that, I'll record those before, if I do a guest, then I'll record them separately. Or if they're relevant, you know, something that the guest can chime in on, then I will ask them with the presence of the guest there and maybe get some additional information. So that will be starting here. You know, when you hear this podcast, then that will be open for comment, topic suggestion or guest suggestion. So looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with there. And sometimes, suggestions on topics or guests are things that aren't really in my immediate orbit there. And I've gotten some great suggestions and it's always fun to be able to answer questions too. And I think this would be a great way to pose these questions. So, I'm sure I'm forgetting some things. One of the motivations besides you guys' insistence on me getting back and starting to record again is, somewhat selfish. During the course of a normal business day of me building bows, I'm usually, grinding away on bows and making lots of noise and not doing a lot of talking. And consequently, if I speak for a long period of time, then I tend to start to lose my voice. And I was invited to be a guest speaker at the North Dakota Bowhunters, their big indoor shoot in April, first weekend in April, and then also for the Colorado Bowhunters Association, the first weekend in March. So I thought this would be a good way for me to exercise my vocal cords, tune them up so I don't embarrassingly lose my voice halfway through my presentation at both of those. And so if you are in the vicinity of either North Dakota or Denver, Colorado, then I'd love to have you guys come out and join us for dinner and get to listen to me jaw about hunting and do some video stuff there too. All right, so today we are reading from Patrick McManus, How I Got This Way, and the chapter is The Ultimate Bull. Now, I'm a bit out of practice for reading, and I confess I've been a derelict father and haven't been reading my kids' bedtime stories here lately, so hopefully there's not a lot of stumbling as I go through this. But again, The Ultimate Bull. Let me begin by saying that I don't hold with lying. It is a disgusting habit with no other purpose than the deceit of one's fellow man and woman. After a lifetime spent in the company of elk hunters, I am pleased to report that they, as a group, abhor lying as much as I do. Oh, sure, elk hunters are only human, and occasionally an innocent little fib will escape their lips while they're relaxing around the campfire of an evening. A hunter, for example, describing his packing of an elk quarter up a mildly steep hill in terms more appropriate to carrying a refrigerator up the north face of the Matterhorn. But that is an exaggeration to be forgiven. What cannot be forgiven is the outright lie, such as changing a 5-point rack into an 8-point rack. That sort of unconscionable falsehood offends the honor of all elk hunters who know that it is permissible to add only 2 points at most to a rack, and then only to a hunter's first elk. His future elk are not permitted to grow any points at all after they have been shot, unless, of course, the hunter has reached the age of 65, then anything goes. I know an elk hunter who, upon turning 65, gave up the sport. Scarcely a month later, he had bagged at least a dozen more elk than I had been aware of, which was 3, and I was both pleased and astonished to hear of his recent good fortune. "Ed," I said to him, "I never realized you were such a successful elk hunter." "Yes, I am," he replied simply. "Here, after the years we've known each other, you have only mentioned 3 elk. Now, suddenly, there are 18, 23. "Oh, 23 now. I would have thought an even 24, perhaps. I prefer the odd number. Besides, I'm too old to hunt down another elk." "Really?" I said. "Why, I would judge that the last 20 elk were about the easiest ever taken in the entire history of hunting." "Well, they were a heck of a lot easier than the first 3, I can tell you that." By age 70, Ed was kicking himself for not having at least 10 of his elk officially scored, because they would easily have made Boone and Crockett, with several perhaps world records. Ed was a man of restraint, however, and once his lifetime score reached 23 elk, he held pat on that number and refused to exceed it, even though that would have been easy enough for a hunter of all the skills he had acquired since giving up the hunt. Ed did not believe in excess. One day, as he was approaching 90 years, I asked him if he'd bagged any of those elk with a bow. "Not at the present time," he said. So right there you can see how modest he was. He could just as easily have shot half those elk with a bow, but he wouldn't do it. As I say, all true and honorable elk hunters under age 65 and a few over abhor the lie and will never use it to deceive their fellow elk hunters. What means are left, then, with which to deceive fellow elk hunters? Disinformation. Yes, disinformation. This is a wonderful rhetorical device developed by the folks in Washington, D.C. to avoid telling either lies or the truth. Here's an example of how disinformation can be put to good use by elk hunters. Let us say that you got your last elk by grace of your cow permit. You are now playing cards with some other elk hunters, and one of the guys asks you if you got your elk last year, with no pressing need to mention that your elk was a cow. "Yep," you say. "Whose deal is it?" "Harry's." "Good rack?" "Nothing I'd hang on the wall." "I thought Harry just dealt. It must be George's deal." "No? Well, let's see. I dealt 2 hands and..." "Whoops! Oh, sorry, didn't mean to spill my hot coffee in your lap, Charlie." That is how disinformation allows one to keep from telling a lie without telling the truth, augmented by a bit of diversion. Now, let's say that I am seated at a table at a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet, and I, in all my years of dedicated elk hunting, have never shot an elk. Naturally, I want to appear as adept at elk hunting as many of my banquet companions. Otherwise, what am I doing here at an elk hunter's banquet? I certainly don't want to be found out as an imposter, so what can I do? When all of the successful elk hunters of the previous year asked to stand, I alone at our table remain seated. But I do not merely sit there, I also smile bemusedly. You can get a lot of mileage out of a bemused smile. "No luck last year, huh?" one of the successful hunters asked me. "Oh, I looked over some pretty good racks," I reply, "but nothing I wanted to pull the trigger on." The reason I didn't want to pull the trigger on the racks is that they were hanging on a friend's wall, and he would have been mad as the dickens. Thus, no lie is involved in this response, as you can see. My response is merely a bit of disinformation. Nevertheless, I have left the impression that I have reached the discriminating stage of elk hunting where only the ultimate bull will do. Impressed by this response, my dinner companions leaned forward attentively, hoping to pick up a few tips from a master elk hunter. I must then launch into something like the following soliloquy in my best authoritative tones. The thing to remember about your really big bull is that he's almost never going to be where you want him to be. So you have to hunt him where you don't want him to be. That's the steepest, nastiest hole in the mountains that you can find. You spend half a day climbing down into that hole, and there's your elk. Or maybe not. If he's not there, and you want to remember this, then he's someplace else. Most of the time, in fact, he's someplace else. Or maybe he's where you wanted him to be in the first place, but you are someplace else, namely where you didn't want the elk to be, and he isn't. That's pretty much the essence of elk hunting as I see it. Gosh, sir, how many elk have you got in your lifetime? A young fellow asks. Not really all that many, son. Fewer than a dozen. Like a dozen fewer. But keep in mind that I'm not going to take any old bull that comes along my way. Like if a bull elk comes my way on roller skates, I'm not going to shoot him. Unless, of course, I think he stole the skates, which he probably did, because how else would a bull elk get roller skates? So I'd have to shoot him anyway. What's the longest shot you've ever made? Well, I guess about 600 yards. Missed, of course. Wow. What's your best rack, sir? My best rack. Let me think about that. Yes, my best rack. Whose deal is it anyway? Deal? We're not playing cards. Good heavens. So we're not. I thought it was a terribly slow game. I must be at the wrong table, if you gentlemen will excuse me. Now here's a tough one. Suppose a friend asks you the location of your secret elk hunting place. Your initial impulse is to lie. What secret elk hunting place? I don't have a secret elk hunting place. But that would violate the elk hunter's code. On the other hand, you know if you tell him, your friend will invite all his cronies along with him, and they will chase all your elk into the next state. You could tell him just to buzz off and find his own secret elk hunting place, but that would break the bonds of friendship, which would be all right, too, if the guy didn't hold the mortgage on your house on which you're three payments behind. So you must tell him. My secret elk hunting place, you say. Henry, you are the only person in the world I'd reveal this to, even if you didn't hold the mortgage on my house, and you must promise never to tell another soul. Here's how you get there. You drive up to the end of Jefferson Creek Road, then climb to the top of Jefferson Peak. There's no trail, but just keep going up until you reach the peak. You can't miss it. Now pay attention to this, Henry. Take a long rope. You'll need the rope to get down the sheer cliff on the other side of the peak. The rope will also come in handy for hauling your elk back up over the cliff. Once you're in the valley below, you'll see another mountain off to your right. Climb that one. Take a left at the top. Good gosh, Henry says, interrupting. Isn't there a road anywhere near the secret elk hunting place of yours? Whose deal is it? I just dealt, didn't I? So it must be yours, Henry. Oops, sorry. Spilled my coffee right in your lap. All right, some good elk hunting stuff there. Maybe that'll come in handy. I've got a couple of elk hunts planned this fall, so I'm going to have to keep that stuff in my back pocket. Well, I appreciate you guys logging on. And coming up, I'm going to start doing some additional reading from One with the Wilderness. It's a book that Mike Mitten wrote, six or seven years back, maybe. And if you're not familiar with Mike Mitten, you're probably not a traditional bow hunter or one that has been doing it for very long. Mike Mitten is an absolute stud of a person, not just as a hunter, but as an individual himself. The guy is just embodies, I think, the most qualities that most people, most men at least, walk in the face of the earth would love to have themselves. Is it Indiana or Illinois that he lives? I don't remember. I think it's Illinois. And fantastic whitetail hunter, but also a very successful Western hunter. Both with mule deer and elk, does a lot of stuff up in Alaska, has shot several moose, just did a moose video in the last couple of years, which I definitely recommend. And I'll get all this information so that I can rattle off his website. I don't have it off the top of my head. He did Primal Dreams, was a large part in the production of that film, which if you haven't seen that one, that is an exceptional film, and I highly recommend it. I can't count how many times I watched that. But in any case, I was, you know, I read Mike Minton's book at least a couple of times back when he had first wrote it, and there's a lot of good nuggets of information in there, and it's a very good read. It's well written, and it's very entertaining. And so when I started doing the McManus books, you know, kind of I got to thinking about Mike's book and approached him and asked him if he would be up for me reading it on the podcast, one chapter per episode. And much to my delight, he gave me the nod on that one. So I think what we'll start doing is doing a McManus episode, a chapter from One with the Wilderness, and then a guest. So we'll do, I'm going to try to get out, you know, at least three episodes a month, if not more. You know, we'll burn through Mike's book there. And so you guys get a lot of content here coming up. And I promise you, it will not be April of 2021 before, or even 2020 before we get this one posted. But I will be getting more recording done so I can tune my vocal cords up for the coming seminars. All right. And also this spring / summer, I will be, in addition to the two guest speaking engagements I've got, I will be going to Compton's in June there in, Bering Springs, Michigan. And then we'll be going to the High Country Shoot. I will probably not be displaying as a vendor there. I'll just be going to shoot for fun. And then I will be going to ETAR, and I will have a booth there at ETAR. So Compton's and ETAR will have booths, and I'll probably bring some bows up there to North Dakota when I go up there to speak. And in all likelihood, I'll bring some bows when I do the CBA banquet there, the Colorado Bowhunter Association. So again, thanks for you guys' support. A bit of rambling here at the end, but be sure to log on to iTunes and the other podcast apps, leave your rating and then your questions / topic suggestions or guest suggestions. And I look forward to reading them. All right. Thanks a bunch.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I come down here.